Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, and welcome to Paranormal Thoughts Podcast. And as always, thanks for joining me. In this episode, we're doing an interview with an abductee where we speak to an everyday alien abduction experiencer. Just before we get into that though, I just want to say if you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous episodes of Paranormal Thoughts, please make sure you've subscribed on whatever podcast platform you choose to use. Also, if you know anyone who might like the podcast, please feel free to share with them. That helps us out a lot as well. Of course, you can leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you use as well. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well for every time we post. And that's probably the best way to reach out to me as well if you want to send me a DM. But you can also email me at paranormalthoughtspodcast@gmail.com. If you have a question or, you know, maybe you've had an experience you'd like to speak to me about or anything kind of along those lines, or even just to say hello, I really appreciate that as well. And that kind of leads us into this episode, funny enough. So I'm speaking with Christine in this episode. She lives in Southern California and she reached out to me over a year ago just to say hello. She sent me a DM on Instagram and just kind of said, you know, she was a fan of Paranormal Thoughts and that it inspired her to go and do her own podcast on a completely different topic. And, you know, I love getting to hear things like that. That's really incredible, you know, to have played some sort of part in someone's journey into podcasting or anything, you know, anything along those lines. And, you know, it's great. I love hearing that. You know, just said hello and kind of left it at that. And then she messaged me again a couple months ago. And, you know, obviously I could see the previous messages. I went, oh, yeah, we've spoken before. Cool. And she tells me that she has recently had an experience that makes her believe that she may be an abductee. Or I don't think she actually even said that word per se. I think it was just more she's had some experiences in her life that has sort of led her to believe there's more that's gone on after that very last, very recent experience. And I thought, well, yeah, let's talk about it. I'm curious to hear what you have to say, and especially someone who had already reached out on a completely different topic, you know, I was like, okay, I'm really curious to hear what you have to say. So let's just get into this conversation with Christine. I'd just like to thank her again for taking the time to speak with me. I know this is all pretty recent and yeah, it's pretty wild to talk about, to share as well with you know, a lot of people, I suppose. So yeah, thank you to Christine and I hope you enjoy our chat. I'm excited to delve into some of the experiences that you've had, but why don't we even just start at the very start and give people a bit of a background on who you are as well. So who is Christine and when did maybe your first experience kind of show itself?
Sure. I'm from a very, very small town in Wyoming, 175 to 190 people, and there's some surrounding farms and ranches that is part of the community. So I did grow up in a farm in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming. I had children, and I moved to Los Angeles in my late 20s. And I came here as an actress and model. I'd been modeling for like 10 plus years. So I got a contract and came here. I'm still here now, and I'm doing my podcast. Like I told you, I'm also producing and directing docuseries and documentaries and things like that. Short films, you know, all the fun stuff. And, you know, I've heard a lot of different things throughout my life, people experiencing things. I'm very close to a lot of people that experience a lot of ghost type situations. I've actually been on a ghost show because there's a venue that I work at for weddings. I do produce weddings as well. And I had some really mind-blowing experiences there, and they had me on their show to talk about that. And that was really fun. But as far as anything that has to do with the, I'd say, aircraft or alien type situations, I think I was as young as 6 when I was on our family farm in Wyoming. And it was summertime. We were all sitting outside on the porch. My uncles, who were in their teens, my aunt was like 17, 18. I shared a room with her because we just moved to Wyoming from Virginia. My stepfather was in the Air Force, so we were out east for a long time, and then we went to Wyoming. And we were all sitting outside on the porch, my grandparents, my mom, my stepdad, and it was summertime, and it was warm. And we saw something fall out of the sky, a light fall out of the sky, and it landed on the other side of the Quonset. We heard it crash, and we all got up and ran to the other side of the Quonset. And by the time we got there, it took off, but it did leave a divot in the ground. And I would say that it was probably 5 to 6 feet in diameter, kind of a round yet ovalish shape. Kind of as a kid, it was kind of so, I just remember it being, falling out of the sky, I remember it just being a light. And then when we got over there and seeing it take off, it looked metallic, silvery. And I was just like, wow, that was cool. And you know, my grandparents being like, whoa, you know, just everybody just being in awe that it had happened. And I just remember growing up hearing about it all the time. People just would talk about it. It was a big deal, but yet it wasn't. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. But it just was part of the family, knowing that that had happened. And that was that. We just knew that there were other things out there. I remember I kind of made a point of saying that I shared a room with my aunt until we moved into town. I remember sleeping in my aunt's room, lying at the windowsill. The bed was against it, staring up into the sky and just being kind of like, I don't know, homesick and sad. And I remember my aunt brought this up years later, said she asked me, you know, what was I doing? And I said, I just really miss, you know, home. And she goes, oh, this is home. I said, no, not here, not home as in where we used to live, like home up there in the sky. And she said that she remembered me saying that I want to be back in the stars. And she thought for years that I was just kind of meaning that I wanted to be, you know, famous and sing or dance or act or whatever. And that was not it at all. I very distinctly remember feeling like I was homesick from something that I was no longer able to be at, like in another place, another time. It just almost felt like I was reincarnated in the wrong place. You know, do you know what I mean?
100%. I feel like I hear this time again, especially of late too, of kids saying very similar things to what you're saying. And I guess it's very easy for adults to blow it off as just, you know, childlike kind of mind, imagination. But I feel like there's definitely something about, you know, the innocence of a child and not fully grasping. I guess like as you get older, you know, the imagination kind of is like stamped out of you, and you know, you're kind of bound by more of a traditional, you know, this is what life kind of is. But yeah, when you're a kid, I just feel like you're just so detached from all of that, and you just kind of, what you say is kind of truth in a sense, because you don't know anything else. But No, but that, I feel that's definitely a common thing for people to believe that, yeah, maybe there is some sort of reincarnation where you have been, you had lived a life somewhere else, not, you know, here on Earth, and you still have some, I guess, like residual kind of memories left over from that where you're trying to process. But obviously, how can anyone really put into words a past life, especially at that age?
Right. Now, I've kind of always known, and as I've gotten older, I've delved more into the whole past life thing. And I do know that for myself, I feel like I've had many lives, but there's always been kind of in the back of my mind, in the back of my heart, just knowing that there was somewhere else that I came from. And it wasn't just here, that it didn't always just start here. And I just never really, you know, put any major thought to it. I just knew that we were not alone, knew that that I just had feelings and beliefs that I come from somewhere else. And everybody always kind of was like, you know, whatever. So I never really talked about it. There's probably not very many people in my life who have ever heard me say that. They've heard me talk about past lives, but not about it. And when I'm talking about it right now, I'm feeling quite emotional, actually. Kind of a little overwhelmed by that. I don't think I've ever verbally said that out loud to anybody other than you. Wow. So I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by that feeling, frankly. That's bizarre. That's a little bizarre. Sorry.
No.
I felt emotion in there.
That's all right. No, believe me, things like this do happen in these conversations where people, during my time doing this podcast, I've had conversations with very varying different people, and even the things that we've discussed, it's like, I know you kind of catch yourself in that moment sometimes and go, wow, like I've never really had this type of in-depth conversation with someone who either can relate to this or, you know, can at least just have a sense of understanding. So no, believe me, it's, I do it all the time. And with a lot of this stuff, it can be pretty heavy. You know, it's sort of, it's a lot more than the fun side of hauntings or, you know, UFOs. It goes, I think, a lot deeper. And I don't know, it's, I completely understand where you're coming from, for sure.
Yeah, it's nice. And I was really excited to talk to you because in my thought process for this, I thought, you know, originally I just reached out to you because I love your podcast, and I loved how I felt inspired to just step up and do my own. I think that was like, what, a year ago, maybe? I'm not quite sure. I can't remember how long it's been. But then when my most recent thing happened, first thing I thought it was, oh my gosh, I know somebody who will understand. I know somebody who will be open-minded to hear my story and not make me feel like I just was dreaming or I was making it up, which is ridiculous, because who cares to make this up? I don't get why people would think somebody would just make something up like this. It just makes no sense. Nobody wants to believe you. So why would we make something up that people would doubt? So it's weird. Just that's how I feel about that.
What I always tell people is, I mean, you know yourself probably better than anyone, right? And if you believe that, you know, you've actually witnessed something and you weren't in a dreamlike state, or, you know, I think there's a lot of value to that. You know, I feel like it's very easy for us to ignore things because it's easier, right? Of course, like, you know, if you've, especially I feel like with the alien abduction kind of stuff, you know, even my struggles with all of that, I feel like it is easy just to ignore and, you know, maybe there's nothing to it. But, you know, there are those moments where you go, oh, hang on, like this doesn't seem to just be a dream, or, you know, maybe a heightened imagination, or, you know, just because obviously if you are interested in these topics, you do probably read or watch a lot of the media around it all. So it is easy for it to become, you know, quite embedded in your mind. You know, like that's how I feel about if I have dreams and so on about this material, but sometimes, I don't know, it crosses over into the, into the actual existence that we live every day. And it's like, hang on, I think it's hard to ignore, I think, at that point. So I definitely think there's value to that where you know that something has happened. And yeah, no, and thank you for, I guess, yeah, trusting me as well to have this conversation and to share it with people. I think that's, I mean, yeah, as I keep saying, that blows me away that I've sort of been able to build some sort of a community where people can have these conversations, because I do feel like there's still quite a gap for that. And I don't think I'm the answer by any means, but I'm just trying to do my little bit. But I think it's great to have these discussions without any judgment, or, you know, because I can't speak to what you've experienced and vice versa, you know, but I think it's great just to have this conversation, because what I've learned is there's so many people out there in the exact same position. It's scary, actually.
It is. You know, for me, the simple things that have kind of progressively happened through my life, if they've always felt comforting, knowing like, there's another thing that just kind of seals that deal for me, that reminds me that this really is out there, that this really happens to people. I've never had a fear about it. When I was 17, my stepfather was driving back and forth an hour to and from work in Wyoming. And that's a stretch of land that is 45 minutes of nothing. It's just open, plain, big sky. And I remember he came home one day and said, I had an alien aircraft experience this morning, and told us all about it. And I just remember us all going, huh, yeah, that's cool. You know, and not doubting it, you know what I mean? He said he was just driving along the freeway, open, no hills, no nothing. All of a sudden, out of the sky comes this big saucer round thing with all these lights. It came down, hovered in front of his car as he was driving. Just wasn't something any of us doubted. I remember when my first two children were born, they were like maybe 3 and just a few months old. The middle one was a few months old. We lived in Indiana, and my husband at the time and I drove to Illinois, and we were on our way back to Indiana. And I don't know if this part will make sense, but I'm sure it will to some people. When the moon is out, when the sun is out, okay? So it's a full moon and the sun is still up. So you can see the moon in the sky and it's before dusk. So you know how bright the sky is. You can't see stars around the moon. You can see the moon because it's bright and the sky is still light blue, but there's no stars that you can see yet. And we saw this bright round light not far from the moon. Like, imagine that the moon is kind of the size of a quarter in the sky. If you were to lift a quarter, it'd be about that size. And just like, just a fraction down from it was this really bright light that sat there for a good 15 minutes. And I kept looking at it. My husband kept looking at it. And we didn't say anything. I just thought, wow, that star is really bright right now. And it's wild that I can see it. I didn't say anything. And I looked at Amy. I noticed he kept looking at it. And I said, do you see that too? He goes, how in the world can that star be out right now? And I said, I don't know. It's kind of weird. We kept talking. We looked at it. We looked away. I looked back and poof, it just literally disappeared. And he looked at me and I looked at him and we both started laughing. And he said, does that feel like an alien craft to you? And I said, absolutely. And we had always discussed for years that we both just knew we couldn't be the only people here. There are way too many universes. There are way too many galaxies. We have no idea what could be out there. And we just always knew that something was there. And we kind of had that experience and we talked about it over the years. Wasn't that the coolest thing? And it would be like, yeah, that was super freaking cool. So just kind of like things like that as I grew. Now, 5 or 6 years ago, I remember going through an airport. So do you remember when those first machines came out that you had to stand and put your hands up and it would scan you and you come out and it would tell if you had metal?
Yep.
When those first came out, I don't remember when it was, but it was maybe about 6 years ago that I went through that. And when I came out, they flagged me and pulled me aside and said, "What do you have strapped to your back?" And I was like, "Nothing." And they're like, "Do you have an underwire bra?" And I was like, "No, I'm wearing a sports bra." And they're like, "What is on there?" And they like made me stand there and they were like feeling me up. And I was like, "This is really invasive." It was awful. And they said, "You have something on your left, to the left of your shoulder blade on your back." And they felt they lifted my shirt. They pulled up my bra. There was nothing there. And I said, "Well, I have this spot on my back right there that itches and burns all the time." And I made a joke and I said, "Well, maybe I have an implant." And they looked at me like I was ridiculous and sent me on my way. For several years, that happened over and over and over. And I'm telling you, I went to have that spot checked. They can't find anything. It burns, it itches, it hurts all the time. And it shows up on those airport things. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm being silly. It may be nothing, but it's only been there for like the last 5 or 6 years. So I always make a joke that, you know, it could be an alien implant, but you never know. It wasn't there. And now it's there and nobody can find anything. So, you know, who knows?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's an interesting part, I guess, of your full story, which we're going to hear more of. But it's, I think, who's to say if it is or isn't, but it is unusual. And as you said, if you've already had the strange like sensation of an itching and burning, I mean, And once again, not being able to find anything. I mean, it's just putting the facts together. You know, there's been, you know, thousands of reports of implants, even to the point where people have had them removed. And it's quite a known thing within this phenomenon that people do typically find metallic objects under their skin, you know, and all over their body, you know, and it's that thing of often people just leave it. And as you've said too, you know, it's there 1 minute and then maybe eventually it's gone as well. Who knows, do these things potentially dissolve? Are they actually being removed? It's not a stretch to think that potentially, yeah, it could have something to do with this phenomena if you've been having all these other, you know, moments of realization of, oh, this all could be related to this thing.
So my most recent thing was the most incredible experience of my entire life. And I could not wait to share it with my youngest daughter is 16. My oldest daughter is 29 and they were at the house and I just couldn't wait to tell them. And they were laughing at me and kind of mocking me and saying, "Mom, you're so crazy. Mom, you've always got something going on." Because I do see a lot of ghosts. So I do experience a lot of phenomenon like that. And they just kind of laughed at me. My my boyfriend that it happened with. He obviously believes me. I have a handful of people that I've told in this last few months about it, and they have been utterly fascinated. And we're like, oh my gosh, I totally believe you. And it's been kind of like, it's kind of weird, the relief that someone feels when something happened to them and they know it happened and somebody finally believes them. It is incredibly wild how much of a relief that is. It's crazy. So let me tell you what happened to me. I live up in Burbank, California. My boyfriend lives in Dana Point. I spend every other week coming down here to see him. I was here the week of March 10th. We went to bed like a normal night, no big deal, went to sleep. Even though I am fascinated by aliens and abductions and things like that, I don't really study it. I watch it once in a while, but it's not like something I obsess with. It's just something that I know is true. If someone says, look, I was abducted or I have an implant, I would believe them. I would have no doubt in my mind that they are telling their truth, which could, you know, potentially be like the truth, if you know what I mean. But I went to bed that night. We went to bed, and I'm getting older. I typically wake up anywhere between, I'd say 6 and 7 a.m. to go to the bathroom. I have to pee every morning early. It drives me insane. But typically never before 6. I'm a somewhat light sleeper, but not too light because the neighbor's garage is very loud and my boyfriend hears it all the time. I never hear it when I'm sleeping. And I never hear anything before 6 o'clock. Well, this morning at 4 a.m., something woke me. I didn't have to go to the bathroom, so it wasn't like I had to. But when I woke up, I literally remember thinking, oh, what was that? But then I thought, well, since I'm awake, I might as well get up. I did not know what time it was. I knew it was early. It was still dark. It was before 6. I knew it was before 6. And it felt like the middle of the night. And we have nightstands on both sides of the bed. I have to go to the end of my side of the bed, walk down the end towards my boyfriend's side of the bed, and then the bathroom is across from the bed. So kind of give you an idea. His nightstand is directly across from the bathroom. He puts his phone on this stand and his phone goes on sleep. It doesn't open. It doesn't make noise. It will not be activated in any way, shape, or form unless he activates it or unless you're standing directly in front of it. Now, I've gotten up hundreds of times in this room and walked to the bathroom and never triggered his phone. I'm looking at the area right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a good 10, 15 feet away, the bathroom door from his phone. And I will walk by and never trigger it. And if you do trigger it, okay, say you wave your hand in front of it, it will eliminate the time. That's it, okay? So typically, if I wake up in the morning, go to the restroom, come back to bed, I'll pick up my phone because I have it face down and look at the time, put it back down, and go back to sleep. That's typically what happens. That morning on March 10th, I remember waking up and thinking, oh, what woke me? What was that? And thinking, well, since I'm awake, I might as well go to the bathroom. So I get up and I'm facing towards the wall. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something and I turned and looked. Oh, this is so wild. Talking about it out loud again, it's kind of bringing up some emotions that are really amazing. So I look and I see something in profile. Okay. It's looking at my boyfriend's cell phone. The cell phone is illuminated. The time is the only thing illuminated on it. But I'm not looking at the time. I'm just looking at this figure. I'm looking at the nightstand right now. The nightstand is maybe 2.5 feet. I don't know exactly how high a nightstand is, but your average is probably, what, 2.5 feet? And so another 6 inches above would be his phone that's sitting straight up. And I remember seeing this thing. And immediately I looked and in my mind, I thought, I heard in my head, oh, a little alien. And I was devoid of feeling. I was devoid of emotion. Now, you know as well as everybody else knows, when you wake up to go to the bathroom, like myself, you're awake. I was not dreaming. I rarely dream, by the way. If I do dream, I'll remember it. It's like something chasing me or some car chase or something stupid. Never anything. I've never dreamed about aliens. I have never dreamed about UFOs. And I knew I was awake because I'm looking at this thing thinking, I'm awake. I am not asleep. And thinking, why am I not feeling anything? I literally felt, why am I not feeling anything? And I heard in my head, just go to the bathroom. I had an order just to do what I was supposed to do. Now, this thing was maybe 3.5 feet tall. It had the bulbous type head. I could tell that it had the larger eyes because from the side, the light was illuminating. It's hard to explain. I caught that reflection type thing from the phone. It had the tiniest little person body. It's almost like a little child, but you could see these tiny little features of its shoulders, its arms hanging straight down. Its body was very thin, and I literally had no emotion, which I kept questioning. I kept feeling, why am I not feeling anything? This should freak me out. But I was very calm. I felt very unemotional. I'm walking now towards the bathroom, towards the thing, okay? And I have my eyes on it. So when I'm coming around, I'm trying to picture some of this. I could see him from behind now because I had the bathroom door. I opened it and I turned and I looked. That's when I saw then the reflection of the light on the other side of it and the back side. Does that make sense? Like I could then see the outline of the body. And again, I heard, just go to the bathroom. So I shut the door. And I went to the restroom and I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder if it'll still be there when I get back out. Now, I say all the time that I see ghosts and I always think, oh, it's not going to scare me. But when I'm in the moment and it happens, it's startling and it does make my heart pound and it does get me all jazzed like, whoa, what the actual shit is going on? You know, what is that? Oh my God, that is happening. And I get excited. I get a little scared. I get a little startled. I'm telling you, there was so much devoid of emotion. I felt controlled. I felt that it was like, I knew I was supposed to have feelings. I knew I was supposed to feel scared. And it felt like something was reassuring me, keeping that feeling at bay. It's very hard to explain. When I then started to come out of the bathroom, I thought, I wonder if it's still there. I opened the door. This is when I saw the time. It said 4:03, 4:02 a.m. I could see the numbers clearly, and they're quite large. I'd say a good almost inch big. They're quite large. So when his cell phone on iPhone opens, his numbers at night are very large. It's digital. So 4:03, 4:02, 4:03, something like that. And when I opened the door, I immediately knew it was still there, but it changed. It was no longer directly in front of the phone. It was see-through, but I could still see the outline of it. So imagine some kind of like gel-ish kind of material, like you can see through a clear gel.
Yeah, it's like translucent.
Thank you. That's the word. It was very translucent, but it wasn't in front of the phone anymore. It had turned towards the bed and it was leaning over my boyfriend who was sleeping. I thought, shit, it's leaning over my boyfriend. And then I heard, go to bed and go to sleep. I turn back towards the wall that my side of the bed is on to walk towards the end. Like the, I was on the end of the bed walking that way. That's it. I remember nothing else. It's completely blank. I don't remember going back to bed. I do not remember going to sleep. It is completely blank. I didn't remember this situation, this instance the next day. I did not remember it. I remember hanging out with my boyfriend. It was now a Saturday and we were just chilling out in the living room. And he said, and we both are huge hockey fans. We love the Kings and they were playing in town and we had been watching the tournament. And he said, do you want to go to the hockey game? And I said, oh my God, yes, yes, yes. So we got tickets, got ourselves together, got out the door and we're driving into back to LA. And his phone is on the mount that holds the phone in your car. And I remember looking at his phone and seeing the time and it all hit me. It all came rushing back and I shot up. I was just kind of reclined in the chair. I shot up and I said, holy shit, I saw an alien last night. And he looked at me startled and he goes, what? And I said, oh my God, there was an alien in the bedroom last night. Holy shit, I'm remembering it now. And he was like, oh my God, tell me what happened. And I told him this story and he was like, oh my God. And I remember us just kind of talking about it all night and a little bit more came back. And the first thing I said to him was, I was awake. I know that I've never, ever in my life, there's never been a dream in the dreams, history of dreams that I'd ever felt or thought or seen anything like this. I knew I'd gotten out of bed. I knew I was not sleepwalking. I knew that I was awake. The next day I went home. The next morning he calls me, my boyfriend calls me and says, hey, at 4 a.m. this morning, my phone woke up again and it was playing music. And he said, my phone would never play music when it's in sleep mode. And I didn't have Spotify open. I didn't have Apple Play open. He said, out of the blue, out of nowhere, 4 a.m., my phone woke me up again. And this happened for two nights in a row. Both of us in separate locations, at my house and his house, he had music that would wake him up at 4 a.m. from his phone, and I would just be awakened at 4 a.m. two nights in a row. After that, it stopped. We have not had any experience since then. Also, that spot on my back that I told you about, it no longer itches. It no longer burns. I no longer feel anything in that spot. It's gone.
Thank you for sharing that, first of all. And there's a lot I want to kind of double back over that. But you sharing that very key point of waking up, seeing something, and, you know, any person, you know, whether they're seeing, say, a being in their room or an intruder, anything like that, you know, the typical, you're either going to go into fight or flight, right? But the fact of you having that message of, not just go to the bathroom, go to sleep, like that is repeated time and time again by experiences, right? That they're...
Yeah, I never heard that actually.
That's interesting.
I've never heard... I've heard people talking about abductions a handful of times. I've heard a few on your show. I don't think I've ever heard that. And I didn't know I knew that people had heard things in their head, like almost like a conversation or a feeling or felt like they needed to do something. But I never knew that that's what that actually freaking felt like until that moment. And it was like, oh, wow. And then thinking back on it now, it is really incredibly weird to feel that feeling, to feel like my voice is underneath there and it wasn't my voice.
It's also interesting that you had no knowledge of that either. Not that that necessarily, you know, makes it seem more believable or anything, but yeah,
right.
It's actually amazing how many people I've spoken to about alien abduction where they haven't known these. I know for someone like myself who's been, you know, interested in this topic for, you know, I don't know, 15, even almost 20 years at this point, like those key sort of moments where people don't even realize, and I've had people not even realize things like that until I've spoken to them, like, no, this is pretty common. And, you know, that it's kind of like the pin drops for them. But it's this weird thing of, yeah, people aren't in control. And I guess that's why people might also say, oh, you must be dreaming or something, because that almost does sound like a nightmare in a sense where you typically don't have control of your dreams, right? So, but no, that is totally a thing that happens. And whatever that is, you know, because I'm curious to know why you woke up. As you said, you know, it was earlier than you typically would wake up. Were you supposed to witness that moment, you know? And I guess a question for me as well.
Not.
Exactly. But it's like, if they have the control to tell you not to worry about it, why just not tell you to go straight back to sleep? It's so, maybe it's that thing of you go to the bathroom, then go back to sleep. You're not going to remember any of this. And it's that interesting thing too. And I was waiting for you to say that you see the phone again with the time and a different context, and then everything comes rushing back.
Oh, that was the wildest moment. It was kind of like, I rarely remember my dreams. Once in a while I will, but it's never been like a triggering moment. Once in a while I'll go, oh yeah, I remember I had a dream about, you know, the dog last night, you know, that kind of thing, but never anything like this. This blew my mind. And it was like, all of a sudden I felt like massive feelings like that I wasn't allowed to feel. And I looked at him and I said, I should have been petrified. I know me. I would have just startled. I'll know somebody's in the house. I'll know someone's walking down the hall, but yet they'll come around the corner and it'll scare me and I'll go, ah, you know, it's like you knew I was coming. How did I scare you? I'm a weirdo. So, it not scaring me not having that emotion, me not being able, almost allowed to feel those things, that is hard to explain. That is hard to feel.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think people listening will understand, maybe not how that feels, but I think they get the thing of you're not your normal self, right? You're not in control. And another thing, as you were speaking, that I'm really curious about is your boyfriend as well. Has he had sort of ongoing experiences now after this experience that sort of, you know, been able to maybe reflect on that? Because it's an interesting thing of, was this experience about yourself, or was it even potentially about him? Or was it about the both of you? You know,
that's a good question.
It could go kind of either one of those ways. But even that interesting thing of, you know, potentially two people finding themselves in a relationship who have maybe been drawn together because of, you know, these subconscious kind of experiences as well. You know, there's that kind of interesting element potentially. But I think the thing that made me think about that was just because when you returned back from the bathroom, this being was staring, standing over partner.
Him.
And, you know, whether is that they've maybe never seen him before or they have, you know, it could really go either way. But it's just an interesting insight as you're speaking that, you know, I mean, the fact that you saw the being and he didn't, you know, are they sort of allowing you? You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I have a strange story Nothing quite like that. And I think I have shared it on the podcast before. I'm sure people get sick of this because I never remember what I've actually said. And they're like, oh, he's telling the story again. Great, hang on. but there was a moment in my life I was having some really weird synchronicities and all about, which I feel like was related to abduction or, you know, at least I was getting some sort of message. And I think amongst all of that, my now wife was sleeping next to me and she woke up and she claims that there was this like red light in the room over the top of me. Mm-hmm. And she had that exact same almost like command as you're explaining where she sees the light and kind of goes, yeah. Oh, that's kind of strange. And then just goes like, all right, I'm going back to sleep now. And that's kind
of... That's not a normal reaction.
It's not. And especially, you know, she's not caught up in all of this paranormal stuff either. But, you know, I have been pretty open about, even if I, you know, I've had dreams and she's like woken up and heard me, you know, dreaming and she's been like, oh, you're dreaming about abduction again. Or, you know, she's kind of come around to that stuff a little bit more, but that's definitely not a normal reaction for her. And she you know, I don't remember it obviously, but she's brought it up on a few occasions to the point where I kind of forgot about it. And I think she mentioned it again recently. I was like, oh, that was sort of strange. But yeah, it's that interesting thing of, yeah, potentially when like a partner also gets like an insight to some of this odd behavior and they're kind of just like a byproduct too. It's just like, just ignore it. That experience of yours though, even just you describing the being, that was really interesting as well. I feel like everyone probably knows what a gray alien kind of being looks like, you know, where they're short, body can't support the head and so on. But seeing that, did you have really much interest in potentially what they may have looked like previous to that or even what you saw? Was it kind of what you would have expected? Or and even now, like that imagery, how does that even make you feel, like thinking about it or even potentially seeing something similar? Like, does that sort of bring up anything for you?
So it's interesting because I have heard over my lifetime a lot of different descriptions of different types of aliens. And I really love praying mantises. I think they're very fascinating. I think that they look alienish. And a lot of people have described that there are insect-like aliens. And I always thought, holy moly, I hope I don't see those. And I did not. I did not see one like that. I do know that there are different types of species of aliens. I just know it in my soul. I just know it because we're not all the same. There's nothing on this earth that's exactly the same. Everything is different. And I know that there got to be different types of universes and galaxies that different type of beings come from. Okay, with that being said, what I did see, I was talking to a really good friend of mine, and he sent me this, I had described to him what it looked like, and he sent me this picture that was kind of scary. And I was like, ooh, no, it's a little too scary. I don't know if you can see this. Can you see this? He sent me this photo. And I was like,
and I'll get you to send that to me as well. And I'll share that. So people can have that reference.
So this here, I was like, kind of, but not quite. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I looked, first time that I'd looked, let's see, when did he send these to me? These are like in May. I then looked it up and I said, no, this is more like what I saw. It wasn't scary. It was childlike, but yet it kind of had, when the phone glowed, it kind of glowed with it. But yet the back, when I looked at it from behind, was dark. It was gray, dark gray, because it was black in our room. It's black. It's pitch black. We have blackout curtains in this room. I cannot stand the morning sun. It's terrible. And the glow from the phone illuminated it. It illuminated the outline of it from behind, and then from the side, it illuminated its features. So I'll send you those pictures. I'll send you the ones that it didn't look like. It's kind of scary. And these are more childlike. So it didn't, in my mind and in my heart at that time, it was telling me, this is not scary. This is, you're good. You just have to go to the bathroom. Just go back to bed. And then to be blank and not nothing, never remembering going to bed. That has actually affected me. It wasn't until I looked at this picture that I found that most, that has the best description of what it looked like to me. When I saw that, hard to explain how I felt. Felt incredibly emotional. I was shaking. I was feeling the feelings that I would thought that I thought I was supposed to feel that night, or that morning when I saw it. Was, holy shit, that alien is in my room. You know, that shaky, scared, kind of overwhelmed feeling is what I have felt since then. I still don't have a fear of it. I still feel kind of calm towards it. But I get a little bit more emotional about it. Not in the fact that it's taken something from me or it hurt me. I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm emotional because it was real. It happened. How in the world did it happen to me? Why me? I mean, of course I believe in it, but yet I never thought in a million years that I would ever see something like this. This just, it blows my mind. But no doubt in my mind that it happened. I've never felt more sure about something in my life. It's a memory that is as clear and crisp as any memory of, you know, when my children were being born or when something major happened in my life that was really exciting. It is really strong, and it is not like a memory of a dream, because the memories of dreams that I have had are nowhere the same at all.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Unfortunately, it's kind of one of those things where you have to experience it to really, I guess, understand the weight of it. It's definitely something that I feel like a lot of people would kind of wish they get to experience, and also probably a lot of people who wouldn't either, you know, because there's a lot of different experiences and opinions kind of out there with this stuff. But I mean, for you, it obviously, it's that confirmation that everything you've once again experienced, or just what is kind of possible. I know when I've had those sort of insights to the paranormal, and you get those, you know, sort of breadcrumbs, that when your case, you know, it's a pretty big monumental moment in your life. But it definitely, as, yeah, whatever kind of feeling in that moment on reflection, it's kind of like, it does feel like a win. And it's also that thing too of, now what do I do with this information too? I feel that's my biggest struggle sometimes. I mean, at least for me, I guess I've put that energy into this podcast, you know, because it's all relevant. But I do think that for people, you know, it's kind of like for yourself now, after having this happen, what does regular life kind of look like, you know, with that sort of in the back of your mind?
For me, it feels like I've always had a strong belief in, you know, I'm a real powerful manifester. I manifest a lot. Since then, my manifestations are stronger. I feel like it's kind of like some, for me, this is how I would think it would feel. As if you had a strong faith in a religion and a God. In God, okay? And your whole life you believed, but then all these people are saying doubtful things, but yet you still believe, but it sure would be nice to know. And then all of a sudden, God appeared to you. And you're like, damn straight, I knew it. See, thank you. You know, and then your belief system just gets stronger. And I just am excited because I think, there's so much more out there that we just don't know. And there's so many possibilities in the universe and in our galaxy and beyond that we just don't know. It's so fascinating. And it's kind of like an exciting thing to think, I got so lucky that something came to me and showed me my own proof. I don't honestly care if anybody believes me. I know how it feels to feel validated, to know that something like that is real. So a strange thing happened to me when I was really little. I remember being about maybe 5 or 6. I have some pretty strong memories. My grandmother gave me a pin that connects to your, you know, your shirt or your jacket or something. And it was a little owl. And ever since that, I've had a really strong connection to that owl. And I always thought, wonder why owls are so important to me. I have no idea. Okay. When my middle daughter was born, as she grew up, I kind of looked at her and thought, every time I thought about something that would associate with her, I associated my owls with her. And as little gifts throughout her life, she's the only person in the world I have given little owls to. And she said to me one time, why do you keep giving me owls? I never even said I liked owls. I said, I don't know, but you feel like an owl to me. This association with an owl associates with you. And it was about the time that she was born that my ex-husband and I saw that silver star type light in the sky that afternoon. And since then, I always wondered, you know, why do owls come to me at specific times? Why does this keep working? I mean, like this. And I heard your episode one time about the writer who did Messenger.
Yep.
Messengers.
Yep, Mike Cleland, yeah.
Mike, my God, I heard that and it just clicked. And I was like, oh my God, it just made sense to me that these owls represented this to me as well. And I actually tried to reach out to Mike. I'm a filmmaker and I want to do a docu-series called Messengers. And I want to include Mike in his book and have that kind of docu-series about that. I'm obsessed, literally obsessed with that. And it just made sense to me. And not too many years ago, I never said anything to my daughter other than, here's another owl. And she's like, why, Mom? And then a few years ago, she got a tattoo on her shoulder, her back of her shoulder, of alien spacecraft, very similar to the one you use as your logo for Paranormal Thoughts. And when I saw that, I asked her, I said, why did you get that? She goes, I don't know. I just believe in aliens. I believe in something else out there. And I don't ever remember discussing that with her. She's in her mid-20s now. I don't ever remember discussing that with her. She just felt compelled that was the tattoo she had to have. And it almost like And it was another aha moment for me. It was like, I associate her with my owls. Owls to me, after I heard your episode with Mike, I thought, oh my God, that just makes sense to me. I don't know why, it just really makes sense to me.
I can't explain that. No, 100%. When I first came across Mike's work, even prior to the podcast existing, mm-hmm. it was the same thing. It just clicked. And
yeah,
it was weird because I felt like I was still pretty early on my, I guess, sort of like self-discovery into this material. But it was so strange how powerful that stuff was. And even just thinking back to it now, like I can remember what that was like. And it is interesting too, as you said, you know, your daughter having obviously some connection with all this as well, you know, even if it is just an interest, it's still, as you said, if you haven't been super open about that, you know, it's still kind of it's all these, like, it's these little things that you kind of you have to like stand back and kind of look at that big picture and go, you know, one or two of these things, maybe not so much. But I mean, I've told the story here before where I was in a secondhand bookshop. I was on a holiday or vacation, and every time I go into like a bookshop, I like to find, you know, if they have like a paranormal section. And I think I had to get down on like my hands and knees, was like down the very bottom. And I found they had some books on UFOs, and there was a book there by Whitley Strieber, who obviously is quite a figure in at least literature about alien abduction and so on. And because I'm kind of crouching down on the floor, I kind of like lean back, and there's like a little stool with a cushion, so I'm kind of, you know, resting my elbow on that. I grab this Whitley Strieber book. I'm just having, you know, a bit of a flick. I end up buying the book, but just before I stand up, I turn, and my shoulder, which was resting on this cushion, it had, you know, three or four barn owls on it. And, you know, once again, not super weird, but it's just this weird thing of that sort of thing kept happening, where it's like almost in one hand is this UFO alien abduction stuff, and in the other, there's actually these owls, you know, the symbolization of owls. I've only had a few instances where I've seen physical owls, which I feel are relevant, but there's a lot of, yeah, symbolization of this stuff, and it's really, like, they are extremely symbolic, and it's just amazing how many people, like, you know, that's why Mike has done the work he has, is because he found this really bizarre correlation. I feel like it's the same kind of thing as like even like David Pilatus looking into the missing 411, you know, the people who've gone missing throughout the American national right. parks, right? And it's almost like he stumbled upon that. And when you think about it, you're like, how has this gone unknown? But it just kind of does take one person to kind of uncover this stuff, and you go, holy shit, like there's something right. really weird going on here.
Yeah.
And it's just, I feel like a lot of people have those sort of moments where it's just like, wake up. Like, it's being laid out here in front of you, you know, and it's almost surreal, I would say. And even when I get to talk about this stuff, it kind of takes me back to all these sort of moments. And I know what you mean when it is very heavy, and I guess, it's very easy to compartmentalize this stuff, and, you know, you kind of try not to think about it too much. When you do, it's like, oh, it's like being right back there in a sense, you know, it's.
Well, I don't believe in coincidences. There are no such thing as coincidences. There really isn't. And there are symbols and things like an owl meaning very specific things. There are signs all over if you are just open to just listening and feeling and understanding that there is so much more out there than us. And we are absolutely nuts and are narcissistic to think that we're the only ones here. I mean, how could we? We're not even the only universe. There's millions of universes out there. And who's to say what else is out there and how old they are and how much further in technology they are? I mean, look how far we've come in technology in the last 100 years. I mean, it's only been 100 years. We're going into space. You know, we can send a message in a nanosecond, you know, clear across the world. I mean, it's crazy to think that we're alone. And I don't personally understand why. I don't know. I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist because I'm really not. I just believe that there is a lot of crap out there that's being hidden from us. Why? Maybe it's because they're afraid that people are going to be too afraid and mass hysteria. Who knows? But we're crazy to think that we're the only things here, that we're the only smartest thing on the block. We're just not.
I have a question as well about your daughter who has gotten the tattoo and, you know, the whole owl symbolization and so on. I know you kind of said you hadn't spoken to her a ton about all of this, but now that you can see that there's this fairly strong connection, I would say, have you sort of thought about having more of an open dialogue? Just because I could see that there could be reason to believe that she could also have had experiences that she may not be aware of, or could even have experiences in the future. I just see it time and time again, you know, parents, grandparents sort of passing these experiences along, but I feel like family lines do seem to be targeted somewhat.
I was thinking about reaching out to some of my cousins. Most of the adults in our lives, we're the elders now. You know, my mother, my father, my stepfather, my grandparents, they're all gone. I do know that they have talked through the years about little things happening. They could have talked more about it and just not included us kids, or us not even paid attention to it. I do know that strange things happen to my cousins too. So I thought about reaching out and saying, hey, has anybody experienced anything? As far as my daughter goes, this is a hard part about being a parent. I have three daughters. It's like, take myself as a person and my personality and divide me into threes. And each of my daughter represents those three things. Like, one daughter is very feminine and, you know, very worrywart, such the mom. The other one is completely logical and is all about science. The other one is kind of, you know, doesn't give a shit about anybody or anything and is distant. It's very bizarre how you can have all these children, raise them the exact same in the exact same environment, and they are all so different. That daughter of mine, my middle one, I love her more than life, but she's in a place in her life where she kind of has distanced herself from the family. She's always been kind of not affectionate. Doesn't like to be touched or hugged. She's just kind of a distant person. I would love to discuss it more with her, and I hope to be able to do that in the future. She's just one of those people that just wants to be left alone. And, you know, could be for some reason that I don't know. It could just be her personality too. We used to be super close until she became a teenager, and then she got distant. And then as an adult, she just is even distant from her sisters and her dad. And also, it doesn't help that she married somebody who doesn't want her to be part of her family. So, you know, That's tough. It's hard to explain that, but it could have something to do with it. I hope to someday find out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just like the question was if you're open to that, or even how, you know, and you've already kind of said mm-hmm. you can see potentially the connection there where, you know, there could be something more going on. Who's to say if there is, but it mm-hmm. automatically, from your story, just kind of it's like that. I'm just getting those sort of like those signals of, yeah, there could be definitely more going on here. And I think the interesting thing is too, even from your that initial sighting when you were six, you know, once again seeing that with your family and kind of experiencing all of this with other people as well is a very interesting insight as well, you know, when you're with your ex and now your boyfriend. It's just, it's interesting that, everything happens with other people or, you know, especially like with family too. So I wouldn't discredit any of that, that there could be some weight to all of that for sure. Thank you so much for being so open and, you know, for...
Thanks for listening.
No, yeah. I love hearing from people, you know, like people like yourself when they reach out and say, you know, I've got this weird experience and, you know, you never know what you're going to get, but...
Right.
But it's always, I'm always still, I mean, even as you're telling your story about seeing this being, I think I'm like, oh, that's incredible. But at the same time, it is almost just like not the norm, but I don't know. It's like this weird reflection even upon myself with this material. But I definitely think your story is very interesting and I see a lot of myself within it because you're kind of like, you know, had this interest, but it's kind of, it's like whatever until you have this moment and you go, hang on. That kind of changes everything in a sense. I've had these glimpses and now it's like I can't really ignore it.
Changes everything.
It does, right? Yes. So I really see myself a lot in that. And I'm sure people listening will be able to definitely reflect on that as well. But please as well, please give a solid plug for your podcast as well because I want to be able to do that for you for sure.
Thank you. That's great. Yeah, it's called 50 Shades of Bullshit. You have to spell out the word 50. It's not 50. It's F-I-F-T-Y. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. You know, if you come and listen, we're just out there trying to help people find love and find themselves. And we joke and kid and talk about a lot of body parts. We talk a lot of sex and we are very open, you know, and help, you know, take the stigma off of, you know, intimacy and sex and finding, you know, yourself as a person. So that's what we try to do on that and my show. So thank you. I appreciate that.
No, that's amazing. I'm just glad that, I mean, it's just wild to me that, I weirdly played some part in that.
I know. I love it.
It's
all, this is why I talk about not believing in
coincidence, was that?
Coincidences. Yeah. Things happen for a reason. Things become full circle. You know, all these things are so intricate. It's just not by chance.
And it's just, so bizarre too. Like, once again, you just reaching out to like say hello and then like, a year later or whatever, being like, hang on, I just had this really weird thing happen. I'm just like, oh shit, like...
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. I was like, I can't wait to tell Dylan. Yeah.
But that's it. Everything. Yeah. Everything weirdly happens for a reason. And I don't know. I'm sure more will become uncovered and definitely let me know if and when that does happen and keep in touch. And thanks again.
Thank you, Dylan. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise.
I appreciate it.
Well, there you go. There was Interview with an Abductee with Christine. Thank you so much for Christine for taking the time to speak with me and, you know, share her story with you guys. I hope you got something out of that. As I kind of said at the end there, I kind of can really relate. I mean, I relate to a lot of these episodes now. You know, Paranormal Thoughts is like 6 years old now, so there's a lot of reflection that goes into all of that. Yeah, it's just weird. Every time I have these conversations, I always just come away with something, if not even just, I don't know, some thoughts reflecting on all of this entire topic. I'm sure I'm not the only one in that boat by any means, but just fascinating stuff, I must say. So thank you to Christine, and of course thank you to you guys for listening as well, especially if you make it to this point in the podcast. So as I said, make sure you're subscribed, go check out our socials, all of that good stuff. Also, jump on our Instagram to see those beings that Christine was referencing as well, to actually kind of pinpoint what she saw. So that will be on our Instagram. Thank you guys so much, and I hope to catch you in another podcast episode really soon. Thanks. Bye.